Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, October the 7th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics on page 51, the first full paragraph. This world of ours has made more material progress. And we're reading and commenting on that one full paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Alicia A., 12 traditions, Susan B. Text, Judith S.P., Marge O., and Tamara C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, October the 6th, special edition, 21805. Overeaters Anonymous, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Alicia A. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning. Alicia A. from Connecticut, compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will in our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Alicia. And now Susan G. will read the 12 traditions. Welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are: 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. As an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, though we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting worked. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 51, the first paragraph, This World of Ours. Judith S.P., would you like to read for us, please, this morning?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland, greatly recovered for this moment in time. Thank you, God. This world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. This paragraph is a little bit off the grid for me. I can envision what it was like to live in the ancient times in the 1400s, 1500s by what I've read and what I've seen. But I'm going to leave some of the ancient thinking maybe to others who have more specifics on this area. What speaks to me this morning is the realm of the material. Men's minds were fettered. And I looked up the word fettered before starting to read because I said, what is fettered? And it's to be chained. It's to be bound by. In a very, what I would perceive, painful way. fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And then it goes to tell you, if that was where things stood, some of the most miraculous opportunities by human beings and the universe would have been missed. And for myself, I have lived a life fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. I thought I had to and could bring myself out of the hell I lived in by myself, you know, isolate, just come up with self-help, come up with diets, as is often mentioned here, come up with quick fixes so that I can get on to what was I getting on to. And in the context of this chapter, which is We Agnostics, more and more is being offered to me in speaking of God's presence, of faith, of believing in a power greater than myself. So when I'm able to remove myself from the equation and trust in God and the power greater than myself, I move away from, you know, I have this impulse to whatever, or some new fandangled experience that, as I said, is going to cure my overeating, the shame and humiliation that come from it. But first of all, there is no cure. And second of all, the solution is glorious as I live each day in a spiritual realm that no longer includes fighting, debating, what was in ancient times, what happened last year, what's happening yesterday. All that is gone. And when I live in the light and love of God's presence, I can see all the glorious opportunities before me, as was identified by Columbus and Galileo and many, many other human beings. So I'm truly grateful and honored and privileged to be here sharing my thoughts with you. I will pass now and look forward to shares from others. Thank you, Lynn, and everybody.
Thank you, Judith S.P. The line is now open. Just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. So that would be if you shared Thursday or Friday. Please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share, please?
Christina J.
Emma C.
Janet B.
Tony B.
Okay, let me just tell you who I heard while my pen is writing like crazy here. I heard Christina J., Tamara C., Janet B., and Tony B. Is there anyone else who'd like to share this morning, please? Okay, let's start with this lineup. And Christina J., it's your turn, and could you please tell us where you're calling from?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina near Asheville, where the big floods just happened and the hurricane. And I want to say that I got power back Saturday night, and I'm grateful to be back with you all. I've missed you horribly. What I have seen this week has nothing to do with... Well, it does. It has to do with material progress, but people went back to basics, had to go back to camping, had to go back to instinct, had to go back to love, the love that is always in everybody's heart, that is God to me. That is what has come forward. All this material progress and this debate and this everything we're debating about and having our opinions and judgments about, that is all, let's just put it this way, been washed downstream. So hopefully collecting some garbage pile. Because when we go through things like this, traumatic, devastating experiences, which are going to continue on here for a while, All that, nobody cares about anything except surviving, coming forward, helping others, you know. So as far as believing in God and all this debate in this paragraph about, you know, man's minds were fettered and all this stuff, gets down to one thing. No matter what we go through, and this disease brought me to my knees because I had to have a lot of pain. I had two doors. One was food, and the other was food. Because on the other side of food was complete drama in my life continually. From my early family years until I decided I was going to take over and try to do something, right? Drove myself crazy for almost 65 years pursuing something that almost, like a boomerang, as the big book says, almost cut me to shreds. And now, through this program, even before this devastation happened, I have surrendered to one day at a time. And this is exactly what I had to do. I got to practice one day at a time. My husband would say, oh, hey, you know, what's going to happen? I said, we don't have time to think about that. We only have time for today. So, you know, I have gotten off the debating society, whether there's a God, whether there's not. You know, and I'm going to say one other thing before I finish, and it's that, you know, I have, thank God, I have 6 months, and I have a karma bank of God, because I have a human body, and it is susceptible to stress, and I was under extreme stress, physical, emotional, and mental. And you know what? I didn't pick up, but I didn't have that much time to pray. I was exhausted, but I did pray. But my program was living on air, the air that I have in the bank, and I don't want to say that lightly. The air was heavy and strong, and it was blowing me forward and helping us to survive. So God bless everyone out there, and I don't wish this on anyone, but this has been a great effing gift in my life, this hurricane problem. Love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina. Now we have Tamara C. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C. I'm so grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. I find that today, with technology changing so fast, it's a little easier to be open-minded to new ideas in the material world. I find this, like, in my teaching, constantly going to seminars and workshops and taking classes and courses and just learning, like, what is the latest research, what is the latest evidence say about how kids learn best, how do I best help students who learn differently, how do I best help them with their emotions, just so much to always learn. What are the best teaching methods? What does brain research show? And so I find that that's a little easier. But when it comes to the spiritual world, for me, it's much harder to unlearn my fixed ideas. Even though they were killing me, they were keeping me in my disease. But I guess one of my fixed ideas was that my fixed ideas were truth. These are things that I was taught, and I was taught, like, you know, who am I to challenge truth? I shouldn't trust my own understanding. I have to trust what I was taught. And I remember my very first OA sponsor, I was telling her, you know, in the religion that I was raised in, there was this idea, like, us and the world, and we had the truth, and the world was in delusion. And she said, well, that can't have been right, because we have the truth and you were all deluded. And so we had a good laugh about it, but it was very, very true for me that this spiritual awakening has taken a lot of time and a lot of work to uncover my fixed ideas through the steps. And I'm coming to believe in a higher power who tells me it's safe to try something new. I can find those spiritual ideas that work for me, instead of the old ideas that kill me. And I learn it by hearing people share on the meetings, by studying the big book with this meeting, with my sponsor and with sponsees. And I just keep doing the step work And gradually, the new ideas that work for me, the new spiritual ideas that work for me, are starting to become a working part of my mind. And those old fixed ideas, which still come up, they're not quite so fixed as they used to be. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. Now we have Janet B., followed by Tony B. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So, yeah, like everyone else, my mind is kind of goes to we were fettered, we were like chained, shackled by all sorts of fixed ideas. And I was just thinking, like, what were mine? And there were really two about God that got in my way of a healthy relationship with God, a relationship where I could feel comfortable surrendering my whole life to God. And that's one, that God was really too busy for me. There was like war and poverty and children starving in Ethiopia. And what did he care about this like one person who needed to stop eating? And the other was that God didn't really love me, that he had this big book writing my good deeds on one side, the bad deeds on the other. And if the bad outweighed the good, 5 seconds after I died, he was waiting up there with a big baseball bat for me. And of course, wouldn't help me here. And then who in their right mind would turn their will and their life over to a God like that? A God who didn't care and a God who was looking to get me with that big baseball bat. But luckily, thankfully, our wonderful book tells us that God isn't like that. On page 133, it says we are sure. So that means like 100 alcoholics are all sure of something. We are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Okay, well, that's a little different. And then it tells me, it says, we cannot subscribe to the belief that this life is a veil of tears, though it once was just that for many of us. So, you know, always thinking the other shoe's going to drop, always thinking something bad's going to happen. They're saying that's an idea I subscribe to, like subscribing to a magazine. I subscribe to that idea. But I can unsubscribe to that. I can unsubscribe to the belief that this life is supposed to be hard, that something bad is always going to happen. It tells us we made our own misery. God didn't do it. God isn't sitting up there thinking about all the ways to get me. In fact, it's just the opposite. Our book tells us, right, that our loving Creator wants to restore us to sanity, that when we surrender our lives to Him, this is page 100, the things that come to us are better than anything we could have planned. This is a God of love and of miracles. So when I had those fixed ideas about what God was like, I needed to just consciously unsubscribe to those wrong notions and then subscribe to the notion of a loving God who loved me in spite of all the rotten things I'd done and was willing to help me no matter what. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. Tony B., it's your turn. Welcome.
Thank you very much for your service. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And thank you, Judith, for starting us off this morning. This is a good paragraph, you know, it's telling me don't be fettered and chained and caught and trapped. And stuck, you know, be willing to change and grow. We need to change our points of view sometimes. Well, this program actually, it's all about change and transformation. And we need to be open, and open-mindedness and is essential, willingness and honesty. That we're told in the second appendix, indispensable for us to move on with this program. So, scientific inquiry, yeah, it needed us to change our thinking, needed us to be open and inquiring as human beings. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, the agnostics, are we stubbornly holding on to our views that either there is no God or that God is only going to do things in a certain way and can only deal with certain things in our lives, as the last speaker was saying. I must say, when I first read this, when I read it, what comes to mind is is there something in, you know, that old thinking where God, I mean, it talks about superstition, tradition, fixed ideas, but perhaps also, you know, belief in God, and belief that perhaps some things are his sole prerogative. Somehow when I used to read it, I would think, I would sort of have a bit of a nostalgia for an old world where, you know, where we didn't think that we were so all powerful. But there's been so much wonderful progress. It's got to be a good thing. And they're not mutually exclusive. You know, we can be intelligent and finding cures for cancer, etc., and do it knowing that we're spearheads of God's creation. So with that, I'll share the time. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland. Okay, the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And if you joined us a little later this morning, we are on page 1, the first full paragraph, This World of Ours. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Yvonne C. from Richmond.
Okay. Anyone else?
Shelly from Minnesota.
My name's Patty Olin, Florida.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Somebody from Florida.
Patty O.
Is that Patty O?
Sorry, I have a cold.
Is that Patty O? Okay. I think I've heard Yvonne C. from Richmond, Shelley from Minnesota, and Patty O. from Florida. Is there anyone else?
Crystal R.
Crystal R. Okay, let's go with that lineup. We'll start with Yvonne C. from Richmond, followed by Shelley from Minnesota. Good morning, Yvonne.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Hi. This is Yvonne from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm just happy to be here at this meeting, and thank you for your service and for everyone on the line. When I first read this paragraph, I was like, oh, wow, this is like really in some kind of far-off lane for me, and I didn't really want to think I had anything to share about it. But when I started thinking about it, I started thinking about just how much that I was a person who would immediately look for an intellectual response to everything, whether it's in a book or in some research or talking to some other person or whatever. I'm surrounded by books and always found them to be a comfort for me. And right now I'm in some emotional turmoil, but I'm abstinent. And I want to say that I can go to ChatGPT or some artificial intelligence and maybe get an answer to how I deal with this emotional turmoil. But what program tells me and has given me is that, you know, I was able to reach out my hand and ask for help, and a sponsor took my hand and is helping me through this program and helping me see that the response that my answers are not there. My answers are with my higher power. For me, it's God. My answers are in program. It's in this book called The Big Book. And that my problem isn't that an intellectual one. My problem is an emotional and physical and psychological one. And that I need to hold on to program. I need to stay grounded
in the program, and I'm just thankful today, one day at a time, that I'm enjoying this abstinence, that I can deal with this emotional problem with clarity because the food is not weighing me down. So I just wanted to share that today, and thank you for being here. I pass.
Thank you, Yvonne C. from Virginia. Now we have Shelley from Minnesota. Shelley, what's the initial of your last name, please?
Shelley from Minnesota, over here, and compulsive about a lot of things. I was focusing on the material world. We're not supposed to be concerned with that, according to Christianity. But I collect a lot of books, like the previous teller said, and I find comfort in that. And I also believe that God will take care of me, but I do believe it's the veil of tears down here, even though we have more joy if we're a Christian. And there is grace for God to take care of us, but we don't know what's going to happen to our body or emotions. And God lets a lot of bad things happen, but he comes through in the end. I read that time and again in different books. And I'm not going to be afraid what people can do to me anymore, physically or mentally, because I know my soul is more important, which that'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley from Minnesota. Patio, it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Patio, and I live in Florida. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm a compulsive overeater, and for today recovered in from the help I received from these meetings and from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very nervous to share one of those beliefs that I have and have for my whole life. I'm 71. For my whole life, I've told myself that I have nothing worth sharing, nothing to contribute. So it has really, I've been in the prison and vision and having so many fears. So my beliefs that I have told myself my whole life is that I'm not good enough, that I'm not lovable, there's something wrong with me. And my experience along the way to 71 years has reinforced that idea. And this last year in vision has just opened my eyes to that's not true. Those beliefs are just not true. The most profound belief I had was that when I joined Vision over a year ago, it wasn't going to work, just like it hadn't worked all those times. This was just going to be another futile attempt, and I was so wrong. I was so wrong. I have received so much from just being open-minded and knowing that what you talk about, what the Big Book encourages, spending time, quiet time, trying to connect with a higher power, how to live my day, all of those things have contributed to the way that I feel today. For today, I feel free. Do the fears still exist? Is my immediate thought that I'm being persecuted and that people are, that I am unlovable? There's something wrong with me? Yes, I have that immediate thought with most people I talk to. But in that quiet time, in that pause before, I can come to know that none of that is true. And that this program of vision based on honesty will work for me. So I appreciate you listening. I have no idea if I made any sense, but I had to have the courage to open my mouth. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patio from Florida. And next we have Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada. Good morning, Crystal.
Hi, good morning. This is Crystal R., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And I really appreciated the reading this morning. Over the last month, I recently left my old job, my old career, started a new job, new career, new company. And I've been in so much fear. And this morning, I woke up with so many fixed ideas. Tomorrow, I'm going to be facilitating this big meeting with all these clients that are very senior, and I'm feeling so inadequate. And on Friday, one of them sent out this email that really sort of questioned whether I should even be, you know, facilitating this, and did not set me up well for Tuesday. And I woke up this morning with so many fixed ideas, feeling fettered, feeling bound in chains by all these old ways of thinking. I need to go in there. I need to prove to them that I'm the best person that they've ever hired in this entire company. I can't make a single mistake because now, you know, that'll prove them right. Like, it's all on me. Like, I'm walking into a shark tank. Like, these are all my old fixed ideas, and God is nowhere to be found in them. And this morning, what God was trying to say to me is to open my mind. Can I let go of those ideas for a few minutes and actually consider that every single person in that meeting tomorrow is God's child? That's what God said to me. Each of them tomorrow is one of my children. And I'm just asking you to go in there and can you help them? They need your help. Have a particular way of seeing things that's going to help them. Can you just go in and do that? And leave all this other stuff to me. And when I'm willing to do that, all those chains fall off and I don't feel like I have bricks on my chest, like I can't breathe, like everything is on me. And I have that choice today to make. I have that choice every single day to make. And I'm so glad I heard this reading because I'm going to go to God before I do anything at work today. And instead of trying to overdo and instead of trying to work myself to the bone today to prepare for tomorrow, I'm going to just ask God to help me do what needs to be done and to help me see them all tomorrow with love and compassion. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Crystal R. from Toronto, Canada. Okay, if you're just coming on the line this morning, we are on page 51, the first full paragraph, This World of Ours, and we're sharing on that. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Ben H. Israel.
Deanne F. in New York.
Kristen P. from Georgia.
Anne A., New York.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. There was a gentleman from Israel. I wanted to say Reuben, but I'm not sure I've got that right. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. Reuben from Israel. And I think Deanna F. from New York, Kristen P. from Georgia, and Anne A. That's who I have so far. Okay, Reuben, would you like to go ahead for us, please? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your service, and grateful through the grace of God to be a recovered compulsive overeater for today. So what this paragraph is telling me, please excuse the noise in the background, they're cutting grass, is setting the stage of continuing to compare how material progress and scientific progress is something that we see over time has changed. And we're going to go to the idea that why not be able to apply the same to spiritual ideas and the belief in God. You know, things have changed. One of the things that I'm identifying with this as a recovery compulsive overeater is my change in attitude about it, what it means to believe in God, you know, as more than a belief in God, as these 100 found and thousands afterwards, that a trust in God and an unlearning of how I interpreted God in my life. And that over time that I have changed, both in terms of how I've looked at even how to practice my my faith, my Jewish faith. This book is giving me, it's giving me testimony of other people that have been able to change their lives regarding the drink. And on this line, other people changed their lives to food, and that with the spiritual awakenings for me as a result of working these steps continues to happen. However, yesterday doesn't go for today, and today will not help me with tomorrow. Yes, there's a bank account. However, constantly I am challenged as I face new things in my daily life. I don't know if I need to share anything more than that at the moment. So thank you for letting me share, and grateful to everybody here in the meeting.
And Reuben, what's the initial of your last name, please? Okay, I guess that was Reuben from Israel. Thank you. And now we're on to Deanna F. from New York. Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. This is Deanna F., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater for this day. And I thank you for your service and everyone who shared. I really wanted to come on today because I'm experiencing a miracle, which is that today is my natal 60th birthday. And, you know, talk about like fixed ideas about, you know, I don't know what I thought 60 was going to be. But it's the sixth, you know, decades of my life that God has decided when I was, you know, awoken this morning. You know, I always say, like, I didn't wake myself up. You know, there has to be a power greater than me because I woke up and my heart beat. Thank you, God. And my lungs, you know, work. And I don't consciously think about those things. What I will say is, that, you know, this paragraph also talks a lot, and it really speaks about the mind and the amazing construct of the mind, and also the amazing inability of the mind or the limitations of the mind, even with an opening. The truth for me is that this way of life requires that my heart is where I live. That I, of course, need my mind. I must be connected to my heart in all ways. So when I ask God to remove, you know, the bondage of self and food, that is really me actually, you know, connecting and offering everything to God with my full heart. And that is, you know, the spiritual experience that I get to have today. And so I really thank everybody on this line. What an incredible journey. And I'm blessed that, you know, that I'm here today to share it with all of you. And I hope you have a beautiful and blessed day and peace. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Deanne F. from New York. And now we have Kristen P. from Georgia. Good morning, Kristen.
Yes. Hey, I'm Kristen P. from Georgia, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And it's hard for me to share, so that's why I'm going to start sharing. So when I was growing up, my higher power, we didn't talk about him, but the one I learned about was, of course, I'm from Georgia. I'm from the Bible Belt, from the South, and it was a hell and brimstone higher power. And you know, I didn't care anything about me because what I had done through the years with food being my first addiction when I was 4 years old is when it started. And then on to other addictions. So by the time I got here, I had recovered from another addiction. And it didn't make sense to me either that God would care about my food. But when they said it was part of my addiction, that's when it hit home for me, you know, that addiction is not okay. And I used to hear people talk about being grateful they're an addict. And today I am grateful I'm an addict because I have a relationship with God that I never thought I could have. And he helps me and guides me. And, you know, I have just recently come to a crossroads in my life where I had to deal with some other issues, and it's real intense, this part of my life, and doing some work on myself is very intense. So it is really drawing me closer to him and knowing that he wants good for me and that, you know, he wants me to have life and life more abundantly. And that makes sense to me today. And I'm very grateful for this program, even though I came in kicking and screaming. I swore I would never leave food. Food was my best friend since I was little, and I was going to my grave with the food. And he relieved me of that, and that's a miracle. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen P. from Georgia. And now we have Ann A. And Ann, please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service and everyone's. I am Anna. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater here in Ossining, New York. Beautiful shares. Very tricky paragraph, but our intellectual bill. What I'm getting from here is the following. I am so grateful that in 1939 this book was published. So grateful that Dr. Silkworth's opinion shares what's wrong with me. I have an allergy of the body. I have a delusional mind and will. I had. I was born with this disease when I look back. And I'm so grateful that God rescued me. He rescued me at 65 and put me on this path. And there I found him, not realizing it was God. Just knew I was relieved of the obsession of my alcoholic foods. But what about those fixed ideas, Anne? Well, in recovery, you know, the layers keep peeling slowly, like material progress that Bill says. You know, there's enormous material progress in this century, but I think the most profound is recovery for us, that we are useful human beings. On page 14 to 15, Bill says, you know, how do we live this life? You know, we have to enlarge our spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. And these days, you know, I'm in some new territory, new roads, and pray to some of those bedevilments that we're going to hear about soon. But so grateful that I can go to the promises, and I can give service and be an instrument and unite families. And I think I'm going to end with that, that the most powerful thing in my life is God, and I just want to be an instrument, and thank you all. And with that, I pass. And my sponsors and sponsees. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann A. in New York. We have time for two more shares. Who would like that time, please?
Shane G. in New York.
What's up?
Okay, so I got Russ, thank you. So I got Jane G. and Russ M. Okay, Jane, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Lynn. Hi, this is Jane G., listed as from Texas on the website, but currently in New York. Recovered for today by God's grace. Thank you, Lynn, for leading the meeting, and thank you all for your wonderful, insightful, and helpful shares. So I'm looking at some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. I would have been one of those people. That's who I was before recovery, a naysayer. A lot of fear underneath that. But that was me, contempt prior to investigation. And really, by God's grace, the help of all my fellows, my sponsor, most importantly, my higher power, who I call God, and these 12 steps, I say the set-aside prayer all the time, because that helps me remind me that I need to set aside everything I think I know to have a new experience through God's eyes and his love. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane G. And good morning, Russ. You're going to be our last share. Please go ahead.
Morning, Lynn. Morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philadelphia. And, you know, I had a couple preposterous ideas in my life. One, that I could fix everything, my weight, my relationships, my money, everything. And that worked out kind of cool. It got me here. And secondly, that I would have to be reduced and settled to be a junkie for the remainder of my life. And wow, I'm glad that I had those crazy ideas, because it put me on the brink of not death, but would you say destitution and morally bankrupt, and I was bludgeoned and beat up. It was over. So if I didn't have those thoughts, I wouldn't be where I'm at now and be able to ask for help. I had to be it beat me into a state of reasonableness. I could listen, and I could take advice, and I could have a spiritual awakening developing every day. It's only because God, the 12 steps, that I have a regular life. And you know what? I can get through any hardship. I can get through any joy. And that's predicated that I'm living this way of life. And I got to do it forever. One day at a time, forever. And that's just what I wanted to share. So you're not too far gone. Nobody's too far gone. We gotta work this program. And that's the name of that too. So love you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Russ M. from Philadelphia. Thank you to everyone who shared and to Team Monday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning, Monday, October 7th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21806. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we're going to have Marge O. read that for us this morning. Good morning, Marge.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you. Lovely meeting. It's Marge O. from Massachusetts, recovered and grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.